Welcome to Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. It is Tuesday. It is September 3rd. We are in the middle of a series. Padres against the Tigers at Petco Park. And it's an off day. We don't have time. It's not the important thing. It doesn't need to be acknowledged. They're playing the Tigers. And we are doing a podcast based on schedules and that sort of thing. We just didn't do it at the start of the series. Sorry about that. And I don't want to discount the Tigers, Ryan. They're playing well, 70-69. But you know what? There's more important things going on. It's September. Where do you want to start?
Well, what happens the rest of the way, again, I think Padres are in the middle of a pennant race. The season were to end today, they'd be in the playoffs. Going forward, it is so much more about them than it is about who they're playing week to week. So I think that as the regular season winds down a little bit, we may go off into the weeds a little bit and talk about stuff that's not opponent dependent, if that makes sense. And today I want to talk about the guys who are coming back. Kevin, you broke the news yesterday morning. Fernando Tatis Jr. rejoined the club, was activated from the injured list, started Monday's Labor Day game, went 0-for-4, but is back. What kind of a boost does he bring, and how healthy do you think he is?
Healthy enough. They wouldn't be putting him out there if he wasn't. I know that we go back and like we have this tendency to remember, and there have been some high profile things where maybe like it didn't go well medically for the Padres. Look, there's also been a lot of wins for them medically and things they've been right about and have said, and they're not messing around with Fernando Tatis Jr. And you know, doctors I've talked to it over this time here, just to sort of get input. This is how this healing was expected to go. He's good to go. Hey, maybe he won't perform 100%. Maybe he won't. He is not 100%. I don't know exactly what to expect. He's been off for 2.5 months, but he's ready to go.
Yep. And Fernando Tatis at 80% is probably still your best option going forward. You know, Bryce Johnson, who was sent down, as in the corresponding move, David Peralta, who I think has done an admirable job. Don't get me wrong. 36-year-old David Peralta out there. I mean, really playing more than probably anybody, including David Peralta, would have guessed. Right.
How about this? Like David Peralta's played well enough. And then bigger, the Padres have played well enough that it at least I can't like dismiss a question about, gosh, do you really want to introduce Fernando Tatis Jr. into this? Like It's the stupidest question you could ask, and yet it's not. Yes, David Peralta has been fantastic.
Yes, and this gives the Padres, I think, some length, too. You know, we look yesterday at, okay, Fernando Tatis was in right field. David Peralta was in left for the first time this year? One of the first times?
I believe it was the first.
First time this year. Maybe this gets Jurickson Profar off his feet a little bit more. Jurickson Profar has not been off his feet much all this year, right? Maybe this gets Jackson Merrill somehow off his feet a little bit here. This just gives them even more depth and, frankly, a superstar here in the final month of the season. It's been nothing but good news for the Padres on that front here in the last month or so, huh?
It has. And then the way it turned out, at least the first one with Joe Musgrove coming back, right? It's like, okay, the guy coming back, as they pointed to Fernando Tatis Jr., Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, and how that could be, you know, just great sort of trade deadline pickups. It's like, okay, them coming back, that's a win, but how do they do? And Joe Musgrove threw 5 starts, 3 full ones, you know, there's the real pitch count. Then there was a couple of the games where the pitch count didn't come into play as much because he was so good. And now he's, you know, at full go, 3 straight quality starts, a 1.30 ERA, I believe, 24 base runners and 27 and I think 2/3 innings since he's come back. Like, it's incredible. And we haven't got into Darvish, so I'll wait on my point on Darvish and Joe. But, like, yeah, this is Joe Musgrove is back. And, look, coming back from this kind of weird elbow thing, still has the spurs in there. It's almost like every start you're like, okay, is he okay? Yeah. Absolutely. That's valid. But Joe's back.
This is 2022 Joe Musgrove too, I think. You know, he was never quite himself last year. He was not quite himself this year, frankly, until he came back off the injured list. I mean, he's throwing harder. He's striking more guys out. He is that guy again. And I think that when you cross the 30-year-old threshold as a pitcher, when you're not that guy for a while, I think that there are some concerns if you're ever going to be that guy again.
Fair. I want to point to his last out yesterday. And Joe's a smart pitcher. Joe needs a ground out. Joe tries to get a ground out. Joe, you know, knows how to pitch. Guy can battle through, you know, he could turn in some of the ugliest quality starts. I mean, if you want to say ugly, you know, but found a way to go six innings, two runs and, you know, seven hits, but man, just incredible. Or he can be the guy who goes, you know, obviously no hitter, or he can be the guy, you know, who goes two base runners, seven shutout innings. That's Joe is a really, really, really good pitcher. The Joe, when you said 2022, Joe, it reminded me of the final out yesterday. What a walk and a single to start the sixth inning. Gets a couple outs. What matters if he's getting the third out by, you know, pop fly, long drive to the, you know, track, ground out. Joe wanted the strikeout, and he got it. Joe pitches pissed sometimes. That is an ace stuff. I'm not I don't know who's your number one at this point. I put Joe Musgrove game one in the playoffs, if you can line it up that way. But I'm just saying, Joe Musgrove, this Musgrove, the 22 Musgrove that you point out, that's like, wow, that's the guy you want going into the playoffs.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about Yu Darvish. Is he'll make his long-awaited return Wednesday against the Tigers, 5:40 p.m. Wednesday night.
I think it's 6:40 because we're messed up, right? You might have it right. You're right.
I think it's 6:40 tonight. 5:40 tomorrow. I will double check that.
Okay, but we're not playing tonight.
Dang it, Kevin.
See, you're pulling a beat writer there. Like,
I hate this.
Day it is. I hate this. I only know because that's exactly how I was thinking. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, got to mess. Okay, wait. Wednesday, blah, blah.
Yes, it is. 6:40. Right. Darvish Montero.
To derail this podcast, I am sorry.
No, but you're right. In my head, catching Wednesday, it's 2 days from now, right? But it's not. And Thursday, they're playing at 5:40 instead of 1:10 because they're trying to screw with us. Anyway, what are the expectations here? I mean, I know with Musgrove, you know, there were a couple starts there where, hey, you know, he's got a pitch count, get him in, get him out. Is that where we're at with Darvish, or are they going to be more aggressive?
That's where we're at with Darvish, though. What was it? Was it 60 pitches or something? Was it 40 something? I think it was 60 pitches. I would say he's probably at 70 to 80, 75 to 80 when he pitches tomorrow on Wednesday. And aggressive is a great word because they have been. My goodness, the guy has been off the restricted list for a week and a half. And like right away, it was like bullpen, the next day looked like he was in midseason like work form, right? Mm-hmm. Like where there wasn't any like pulling back the next day. He's out there doing his playing catch and his running and all this. And then bullpen the next day. And then in rapid succession, he's throwing the hitters. And then he's in Arizona and he's pitching in a minor league game. It's like, wow. And the reports from there were excellent. Not like I'm telling you, I got a text message or some guy said, yeah, he looked good. People were really excited about how his pitches looked in against minor leaguers. And that was, I'm saying how his pitches looked, not that he, whatever, you know, 18 up, 18 down, which he didn't, but he looked great. And he would have to, in that basically is his rehab stint. He's coming back.
Well, and further proof that Yu Darvish is, you know, unique within the Padres, maybe unique within baseball, just in terms of, he's a different guy. You don't hold him to the same standards that you would hold somebody else coming off the injured list or the reserve list or whatever it is. He's just different.
And you got it. And he couldn't come to the complex. They couldn't really, like, he'd keep tabs on him. They could talk to him and he was letting them know, but they didn't know exactly where he was at. But there was this hope in the back of their mind, like, this is Yu Darvish. And we think there's a chance he's going to come back. And if he comes back, it's Yu Darvish, right? Like, he'll be ready. And that's kind of what has happened. Again, we'll see. Hasn't been out on a mound since May, or in a major league game since May 29th.
Right. It's when the story of the Padres 2024 season is told, when you write your book, Kevin, Yu Darvish showing up in September, ready for a pennant run, maybe a chapter.
This is huge. If you are like going into the playoffs, how, we don't know how it's going to work out, but you're correct. If you might end up looking back going, Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish, 31 and 38, got a couple months off in the middle of the season, and came back strong and pitched the Padres into and through the playoffs. There's something to that. These are two guys that come out of the gate every year intending to give you 33 of the best starts you've ever seen in your life.
Right.
Right. I'm not saying they don't know how to pace themselves or all that, but their mentality is 96 on game one. And you know, you it's 98 and all my pitches. Well, like, is there something to the fact that they got some time off? And I'm only saying that I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm saying like, man, it sure looks like Joe is pitching great and they like what they see out of you. And so this could end up being a big thing that these two guys got time off. You're not going to draw that up. You're not going to give them 2 months off next year, unless they need it. But it could shape up real well for the Padres.
And I think you could say the same thing about Fernando Tatis a little bit, which is for him to come back. I mean, again, the fact that they lost, I think, 3 times in 2 months or whatever it was, you know, when Tatis was out, they magically won more. But to get him back, just as somebody like Profar maybe might need to get off his feet, right? Just as some of these guys who have been really exceeding expectations all year, you know, this means that they have a little bit more of a margin for error too. They can take one day off because now there's that depth to back them. This is, I think, huge. In the month of September, having all of them back is just huge.
I've written about this quite a bit, but you bring it up and I want to make sure I point this out. You know, at about the exact time that Tatis, who had been the Padres' best player, went down, Manny Machado began a tear that has lasted almost all of the time that Tatis was out.
Wow.
That's what big time players do.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I'm not saying he did that because Tatis was out, but I also am not saying that it's coincidence that he did that when Tatis was out, because Manny A said that it was going to happen. He was starting to look a little better. And then also he knew he had to. Like, he knew he had to. I have a story coming out, some incredible quotes from Manny and others about the culture on this team and they're a part of that story, because you don't write a story this broad and this big and deep without getting into Manny's place on the team. Manny knows how important he is. Mm-hmm. The beauty for Manny is there have been other people on this team that have carried this team at times have carried Manny. But I want to point out how freaking good Manny Machado has been since mid-June. Like for all the other stuff, chemistry, Jackson Merrill, Jurickson Profar, David Peralta, Dylan Cease's no-hitter, the bullpen. Manny Machado is still Manny effing Machado.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quote, Manny, by the way. I don't talk like that.
Hardly ever. Another name, while we're talking about additions here, let's talk Elias Diaz, added to the Padres roster, third catcher. Any chance he becomes the second catcher?
Yeah, I think there is, sure. They're big on, they have been for a long time, big on Luis Camposano.
Sure.
Are they as big? You know, he's had his chance this year. Mm-hmm. Obviously is better as the backup, has been better as the backup. He is still young. I think Luis Camposano might be in this league for a while. The bat that he has, Elias Diaz is a better defensive catcher. Does he need maybe to be able to get up to speed and do all the know the intricacies of the defense and all that stuff? Yes, absolutely. This is a huge challenge to do. But the answer to that question is yes. I've gotten that as a absolute possibility that Diaz could be your number two catcher. Going into the playoffs. Not saying it's going to happen, but there's some defensive lapses. There's at times, now he's worked really hard, but there's some offensive lapses. It feels like one, and in a way there's no way to get around that it's a slap to Luis Camposano. This is a team run by AJ Preller that is just constantly trying to get better. And if you're a player on the team, you got to accept that.
Right.
And that's what's working for them this year. But it's a chance to bring in a guy and see what he can do.
Right. There are no scholarships in the big leagues. You earn your way onto rosters. You do.
and stay there.
Right. Well, and with Camposano, I think that there's enough, you know, yes, he's the backup, but man, there are enough data points with his big league career. Maybe this is who he is.
I, Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other day there was some, they got some trouble there in Tampa Bay. He was catching his third straight day. I get that. There's all sorts of things, right? They like stuff that like, and I pay attention as much as anyone. There's stuff I don't know, but like, I do talk to a lot of people and the bottom line is Diaz wasn't just brought in and it's unlikely that they carry three catchers being all the other stuff that they do. So there's a real chance that Diaz is the guy.
Super further proving, Kevin, I'm not sure the Rockies know which end is up sometimes. They couldn't have gotten something for this guy at the deadline.
You know, that is interesting. That's interesting. I wasn't following that. That is a really good question. Sometimes there's just different stuff. Let's not paint Diaz as like, you know, the second coming here, right? Sure. Like, but yes, great question. They did right by Diaz. They weren't saying, sometimes when you're DFA'd, it's because one of the team's top position playing prospects is a catcher and they suck and they want to give that guy a chance, right? Romo, I don't know. Probably some guy will end up killing the Padres like, you know, teams or players on bad teams do from time to time. I don't know who this kid is, but the Rockies wanted to see him and Diaz needs to play. And so they gave him, they did right by him by letting him go find another team before September 1st. That's great, but you're right. Could they have got some? That's my question is how did this guy make it through when teams need catchers? But there's all sorts of things that come into play when you're talking about a veteran and who's, you know, sure, I bet you he's better than, you know, 10 starting catchers out there. Mm-hmm. But what are those teams looking for at that time? So I can't speak to all that. I do know that the Padres think that, hey, we think this guy can add to our team possibly. It's not to say that that's going to happen. Elias Diaz might have been a memory or barely a memory by October 1st. Don't know, but he could be there.
Every time a team picks up a veteran in September, I'm reminded of Cody Ross. Cody Ross. Remember him? Giants picked him up kind of under the Padres' noses, and then he went on to have big hits in the playoffs. I'm not saying that that's what's in the future, but man, it would not surprise me if this was a guy who was on a playoff roster playing significant time in big games a month from now.
Been in the league a long time, knows what he's doing really well, really good arm and does some nice things behind the plate and can run into some balls. So yeah.
Sure. What has Tom Cosgrove done to earn another chance here? His numbers haven't been great. Is it just that he's left-handed? Oh,
he was incredible the last month in El Paso. Okay. He was horrible before that. You have to assume, and I asked about him, but we were in the middle of a conversation. I don't know what he's been doing. What I do know is that he went down and he does have really good stuff. And so he must have fixed the sweeper and fixed his head and said, look, I'm good enough to pitch in the major leagues. Let's go. Mm-hmm. He was in the major leagues for like a year, basically. He was a part of this bullpen and then suddenly he wasn't. And that can get to you, right? Mm-hmm. And he's fixed something because he was absolutely incredible for a month in like the worst pitcher's league on the planet.
They have gotten mighty left-handed in that bullpen lately too, right? Peralta.
Did we ever see Wandy Peralta?
Yeah. Wandy Peralta working his way back, maybe. Tom Cosgrove, Tanner Scott. It's no coincidence that many of the best players in the National League are left-handed.
No, that is a really excellent point. And for them to be able to figure out in September kind of the mix that they want to use maybe in certain situations, you get in the playoffs and you're talking about maybe the fifth inning, right? That you want to make sure you're shutting down somebody. So, Tom Cosgrove, Shohei Ohtani killer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I watched
Dodgers Diamondbacks a lot this weekend. I had family visiting from Phoenix, so they were invested in that.
Can't imagine anything sadder than that, but okay.
My mother-in-law and I are watching the end there. And again, every time Ohtani came up late in games, Joe Mantiply comes out of the bullpen, right? And Mantiply is great. You got to have that guy. If you're playing the Dodgers in the postseason, you need a lefty specifically to get Ohtani. I think.
If you can swing it, now you got to face three guys. But hey, Freddie Freeman's there too. So yes, this is definitely not a coincidence. And I do think the Padres are going to be there in October. I just think time's running out on the other teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
I didn't guarantee that. I want to make that clear. But I want to say as we wrap up, Padres are at 79 wins. All right. Mm-hmm. So like, let's just say the Padres go 10-12 the rest of the way, right? They get to 10-12, under 500, right? They get to 89 wins. The Mets not only do like the Braves and Diamondbacks, one of them have to fall. The Mets have to come up. The Padres have to go 10-12. The Mets have to go 15-9.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the Padres go 11-11, that's just 500.
Right.
The Mets have to go 16-8.
Right. And the Mets are playing good teams.
Yeah, my point is like, time is running out. Every Padres win comes on a day that a page on the calendar turns. Mm-hmm. And time is shorter for the Mets, who are the first team on the outside, right? It very well pretty soon could be the Braves as the first team on the outside, and the Mets are in. And so, like, I think that they're headed there. In addition to, and again, I'll promote the story that's going to drop probably in the morning because I haven't even started it, to be honest, boss. But I mean, I started reporting it for the last 4 months, but I haven't started writing it. Right. Like, word one in the story is not on my page here. It's blank, right. Okay? I don't believe we asked all year about this team. Were they the 22 Padres? Were they the 21 Padres? Uh-oh, were they the 23 Padres? And we answered those questions at various points. I think they're better than any of those teams. Mm-hmm. And the mentality that they have, I do not think that the team that has been through what it's been through to this point suddenly chokes in September. And make no doubt, right? No question, not making the playoffs now would be a choke. I don't think this team has that in it. In addition to Yu Darvish coming back, Joe Musgrove coming back, Fernando Tatis Jr. coming back, you know, I don't think this team chokes.
No. And this week, again, the Padres play Detroit and then the Giants and then Seattle and then the Giants. This is not the Dodgers over and over again. These are winnable games. Three against the Chicago White Sox. That's handing them three wins.
It should be. You take a look at like the Tigers and look, hey, the Tigers the last 2 months, like took 3 of 4 from Cleveland, took 2 of 3 from New York, took 5 of 6 from Seattle. They effectively ended Seattle's season. Like they are something like 10 games over since June 30th, the Tigers. Congratulations, AJ Hinch. They've been hitting really well with Michael Berdar as their hitting coach. They, you know, have some good young pitchers, but they're 9-1 against the White Sox.
Right.
Like that. And you go, look, and they're in fourth place in the AL Central, the worst division in baseball. Those teams are all like feasting on the Diamondbacks. I mean, not the Diamondbacks. Sorry. I just have this thing in my head about the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are a very good team. They're feasting on the White Sox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're 1,000% right. Kevin, instead of putting you on the spot, I'm going to make your day. San Diego Padres don't play another game outside the Pacific time zone.
Well, how that's a double-edged sword, though. This travel in today's day and age when you go commercial is tough. You know, it also means I'm on deadline for 22 games, basically.
Yes, deadlines are tougher, too. Yep, absolutely. But hopefully you get a chance to recharge your batteries a little bit here as we head into
22 games in 27 days. That's nice.
That is nice. Starting with today, a rare Tuesday off day. My head is so screwed up right now. I don't understand it. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.